in the banking business and the Chamber of Commerce in Fresno. Recruited to the Bank of Fresno. Shortly after my departure from FSU, the president of the Bank of Fresno, John Brocks, met with me re, his desire for me to join his bank and become their first business dev director. John had been very impressed with the marketing success I had achieved at FSU, and his bank at the time was Fresno's largest locally owned bank. I accepted the task and had two sales staff assigned to me. As I analyzed our potential market, I could see that Fresno was a growing medical center, being the biggest city in the Central Valley. I felt that we needed to concentrate to become the bank for the medical community. I held a series of dinner meetings with different physicians and our top banking leadership, asking them what ideally a bank could do for them. After about 8 dinner meetings with different doctors and specialties, we put together a very polished sales brochure and presentation, all framed around the needs we heard from the medical community. It worked far beyond our expectations. In fact, by the end of 3 months, the medical business we attracted was making my small unit self-sufficient. Several years later, after I left, I ran into John Brocks and he told me that the bank had the majority of the medical business in Fresno. Apparently a good idea at the right time. Suddenly a new opportunity would present itself with significant potential. An offer to put together a new franchising concept. While at the Bank of Fresno, I was approached by two brothers, George and Ernie Beal, who owned 23 convenience stores in Central California. They wanted me to develop their unique franchise concept and then sell it throughout California and beyond the borders if successful. As they explained their franchise idea and the potential profit potential for all of us, it seemed an opportunity of a lifetime. I accepted their offer and began the task of putting the franchising program together and to get the franchising license from the state of California, one of the tougher states to get a franchising license. It took 6 months to get everything developed and get the blessing from the state. The Beal brothers needed a new name and logo, and I hooked them up with my favorite artist, Joe Garcia. He did his usual superb job, and Johnny Quick Markets was born with a great logo. My initial target area was Central California, from Bakersfield to Sacramento. I would go to an area and select the best looking and located privately owned convenience stores in that region. I would then invite them to a steak dinner presentation in which I would show them that by joining us as an independently owned convenience store, using our name and signage, buying power, shared marketing, display format, management expertise, and low-risk test marketing. For this, the store owner would pay a modest monthly franchise fee, and the percentage they paid would decrease as their gross sales increased. The Beal brothers were extremely skilled and the concept was solid. After having several dinners, we secured our first store in Oakhurst, California, in the beginning of the Sierras. The couple who owned the store were probably 2 months from going broke. The first full month with us, their income jumped 82%, about the same for month two, and then a shocking announcement. Just as I was about to bring 3 to 4 new franchisees on board, the brothers announced that they had sold their entire business to Circle K, the second largest convenience store chain in America, and all of their stores were corporately owned. Our franchise concept just died after an impressive launch. What now lies ahead? The California Bowl comes calling. The California was a bowl game I helped create during my A.DS days at FSU. We matched the conference champions of the Mid-America Conference MAC Conference versus the champion of the Pacific Coast Athletic Association PCAA Conference, which included FSU. Only the Rose Bowl and California Bowl matched CONF champions. Our game was in December of 1984. My artist buddy, Joe Garcia, did the original logo and artwork. The beneficiary was Valley Children's Hosp. The bowl game leadership approached me about assuming the reins of exec dir. I knew the current exec and liked him, but they made it very clear that they wanted a change. Since I knew most all the key individuals in the community that might help and knew our conference schools, it was an easy decision to make. The bowl activities all went well with one exception. I had lined up the guy who performed the jetpack human flight to appear, and at the last moment he could not attend. The flight was about a 30-second flight, but would have been impressive. That year the MAC champion was Toledo and Arcont. Champ was the University of Nevada, Las Vegas UNLV. UNLV 130-13. But later had to forfeit due to using an ineligible player during the season. The Rebels QB was Randall Cunningham, who went on to a great pro career. We were searching for a national sponsor and I suggested we go after Champion Spark Plugs as we matched CONF. Champions. Our presentation was well done, but we were unsuccessful in securing them. It was a much greater challenge to fill our stadium without Fresno ST being in the game. We were a lower tier bowl game, but it did give both conferences recognition that they would not have had otherwise. As the bowl game ended and 1985 approached, a new opportunity would come before me. The Fresno City and County Chamber of Commerce comes calling. Becoming the executive director of the Fresno City and County Chamber of Commerce. In early 1985, I received a call from the head of a local personnel company seeking my interest in becoming the new chamber exec, as they had let go Lee Dabrites, who had been there several years. By now I had been exec DIR of the Bulldog Foundation, AD at Fresno ST and exec of the California Bowl, and had come to know a vast number of people and businesses in Fresno City and County. The chamber also encompassed the same free enterprise philosophy I expressed when running for Congress. Little did I know then that this opportunity would lead me onto a 20-year chamber career in Fresno, Muncie, IND, and ST. Petersburg, FL. It was a very, very productive and enjoyable 20 years. My first chair of the chamber was Helen Smades, a most remarkable woman who owned one of the city's top realtor firms. She was a superb leader. The 4 years as the chamber exec proved to be the four most productive years in their history. We increased membership by 33% from 1,800 to 2,400. As of May 2015, in which the city of Fresno has doubled in size since 1989, chamber membership is only 1,400. Remarkable. We also doubled our income from $600,000 to $1.2 million. I produced a coffee table book on Fresno City and County, which was a $250,000 project and was a great marketing piece for our city. Our chamber newspaper received numerous state and national awards, as did our membership directory. One of the most dynamic membership events we initiated was our business after hours, which drew about 1,000 business people to a 100-booth mini trade show between 5:30 and 8 p.m. We netted $36,000 of new income on our buyers. This became Fresno's premier business/social event. But, by far, the chamber's greatest success in their history was our successful effort in passing Measure C, which would build about $500 million, $1,986 of needed freeway and other road projects throughout Fresno City and County. In this undertaking, Joe Levy, the president of Gotts Hawks, who was our first licensee for Bulldog gear showing our new logo, came back into play in a key way. It was Joe who talked to me about the need for a road building measure, as the LA and SF Bay Area were sucking up all the road monies. We had to help ourselves, and if we did, Joe, who sat on the State Highway Commission, said the commission would look more favorably in aiding us if we voted to help ourselves via a half-cent sales tax increase. As I thought about our plan and strategy, one came up with several key points to aid our cause. First, I set a 20-year sunset goal that would require voter reaffirmation after the first 20 years of projects. Second, I said that 90% of the monies had to go to the projects, as I did not want the overhead costs to eat into our monies for roads. Probably my best idea was in solving the struggle between the needs of the county and the needs of Fresno, the city. I developed a plan that assigned monies based on road miles, which pleased the county, and another pot of monies based on population, which pleased the city. The last key aspect of our plan was to specifically tell the voters exactly what roads they could expect for their tax dollars. I then had a high-quality local test marketing firm ascertain who should be the face of selling Measure C on our TV spots. Law enforcement was the only group that ranked higher than the chamber in the opinion poll taken, so we asked a recently retired, popular sheriff to do our TV spots. We asked all the elected officials at the city and county level to just sit on the sidelines and let the private sector sell this initiative. It was a county-wide vote and we got almost 58% of the vote to pass it by a wide margin. I think only one of the smaller cities in Fresno County did not have a majority voting in favor. To this day, I feel that this was the greatest accomplishment ever achieved by the Fresno Chamber. The 20-year span 86-2006 saw a tremendous increase in freeway expansion and other major road improvements. The city and county grew significantly, due in large part, because of improved road transportation for both business and residents. I cannot imagine Fresno County today without the benefits of Measure C monies. You would think that these list of successes would keep everyone on the chamber board happy. My first four chairs, Helen Smades, Bill Lyles, Gene Clayton, and Paul O'Rourke appreciated our success. But our upcoming chair in 1989 was Octavia Diner, who had her own agenda and was one of those people who usually came late or left early for most any meeting or chamber event. She had formed a small cadre of board members who thought differently and the job was becoming more stressful than it should have been. We did take on the Fresno Police Union related to an issue. Called 809. Under 809, our city officials and our voters had no say so in setting the salaries for our own police force. Their salaries were set by the average of 8 or 9 other California cities, many of which were in much higher cost of living areas. I did receive some verbal telephone threats and some not so nice criticism from the police union personnel who did not want their sweetheart deal done away with. As hard as we fought, we lost this battle, but several years later 809 was defeated. I don't know what, if any, factor our 809 effort played with Octavia, but it was made clear to me that she wanted a change in chamber leadership. I had already sized up the situation and was applying elsewhere as I knew that working with her would be a disaster. Fortunately, our record of success would bear fruit and open a new chamber door in Muncie, Indiana. From a personal standpoint, we had just finished building a new home on a 20-acre gated parcel in Quail Oaks, east of Fresno, on top of one of the first foothill high points coming out of the very flat Central Valley. It was a beautiful building site, covered with black granite outcropping and hundreds of oak trees. On a clear day, you could see the coastal range across the valley. In my 10 years in Fresno, my life was filled with great challenges but also great results. I know, that God willing, 100 years and beyond, millions of drivers will be traveling more safely and conveniently because of passing Measure C. Fresno State has grown in stature and even won the College World Series, playing their home games on the last project I was involved in, building a new baseball stadium. When I arrived in Fresno in 1979, I did not know a soul, but when I left 10 years later, I probably knew more people countywide than anyone else. Our daughter Lori was married there and remains, and our son Doug returned to marry a cheerleader, Janet Geyer, at FSU, who he dated some before he returned to MO for his undergraduate and law degree. Currently 2015, he is the city attorney for Fresno, and he and his wife Janet have two sons, Luke and Ryan, who were carbon copies of our two sons. It was amazing. Lori had three girls, Allison, Christy, and Jessica, and a son, Daniel. She got a divorce after 28 years and later married Jared Quant, specialist in AG Real Estate, in May of 2015. They remain in Fresno, so we return as often as we can. In reflection, I am amazed on how meaningful that decade in Fresno became for the rest of our lives.